From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
I'm not the most DIY type ever, but today's guest promises me that even I, armed with a $20 bolt cutter and some so-called livestock panels of wire fencing, can have a more orderly, better looking, and better functioning vegetable garden than ever this year. My friend Joe Lample has just such a garden, and he's here to help us. But first, these messages.
Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, made possible from Timber Press, the leader in fine garden books. The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder by best-selling author Marta McDowell. The revealing exploration of Wilder's connection to the landscapes of the American frontier is a must-read for Little House on the Prairie fans. From booksellers everywhere. Underwriting support from High Mowing Organic Seeds, the first independently owned farm-based seed company proudly serving organic gardeners and farmers with 100% organic and non-GMO vegetable, herb, and flower seeds. HighMowingSeeds.com/AwayToGarden.
You know Joe Lample as host of the Growing a Greener World show on PBS stations and of the Joe Gardner podcast. But apparently, besides being a great gardener, his resume also includes having had a show on the DIY network for 3 years. So that's why I invited him back today, before all my vining crops and tomatoes are in need of support and other such impending issues, to help me do some proactive garden organizing, DIY, as in myself. So welcome back, Joe. I'm ready for some help.
No pressure there, Margaret.
No.
Thank you for that.
I think you're the more capable of giving the help than I am of implementing the help.
I don't know. But if we can scratch each other's backs,
okay,
That's fine with me.
Cool. Yeah. Between New York State, middle New York State, and Atlanta area of Georgia, yeah?
Right, yeah.
It's a long scratch back thing.
Yeah.
So I've been really looking forward to this discussion because you kind of whetted our appetites when you and I last talked on the show before the new year about sort of resolutions for the garden in the year to come. And you have this raised bed vegetable garden that people who watch your program and come to your website, joegardner.com, probably will recognize, know about. It's just the most enviable looking one I've ever seen. So you think that's funny? I don't think it's funny.
I'll take it. I'm just.
But it's so orderly. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, I like order. I do like order for
sure. Yeah. What sign are you?
Well, I'm a Sagittarius, but you know what it is about the order in the garden, Margaret, is that I know that so much of gardening is not in our control.
Yeah.
So I think I go overboard the other way just to try to shake my fist at Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You know, say, yeah, here's what I think about that. But I like to give a run for the money. And the only way I can do that is maybe through signs of orderliness.
Yeah. So when we spoke last time, you kind of hinted at and you even shared one of the ways that you kind of do that, assert some control. And a lot of the little tips that you hinted at were because of these panels of wire fencing and so forth. So how did this happen? What happened to you? Did you go?
You know, I was thinking about the evolution of the livestock panels on my farm. And I think it really just started with the fact that we needed them for some sort of animal containment at some point. Maybe it was goats or chickens or baby rabbits. I don't know. But, you know, it could have been a million reasons why they first arrived on our property. But at some point, we didn't have a need for the intended purpose for which they originally purchased. So they were off to the side. And I think I had one of those moments in the garden where I was planting something in one of the beds. And, you know, as we've already identified the fact that I like order, and I was trying to get everything lined up. And when you have several flats, you're trying to get into one garden spaced evenly in rows and columns or diagonally, however it is. You need some sort of help with that. You need a grid.
You mean your lines aren't naturally perfectly straight like mine? I mean, I look like a drunken planter. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa, the rows.
Oh, no. You like the natural way, which is exactly – nothing wrong with that. And yeah. I do too. But in this case, I liked it because it went with my nicely defined beds. But I needed a template. And I think I was just looking around and my eyes landed on those livestock panels at the right moment. And the light bulb went off. And so – I grabbed one of those suckers. They're not that heavy, and I realized I needed to cut it down to size. But when I did, with a $20 pair of bolt cutters, as you already said, and laid it into the bed, voila, I had my 6 inch squared pallet or template in the garden. And then it was a matter of just placing those seedlings in the pattern that I wanted. And then everything was just how I wanted it in every direction. And it was just like dying and going to heaven. And that was the start of it all, I think.
It's interesting because you say 6x6. Well, first of all, it's a great example of like upcycling. Like, you know, not that we should all keep junk around, but sometimes we have something that does have another life and we just don't know yet what it is, right? So rather than send it to the dump, I mean, this was a good thing and you made it work again. So you upcycled it. But you say 6x6. And so I always think about, and I mean, your hand's probably bigger than mine, but I think about the distance if I stretch between my thumb stretched out and my pinky stretched out is, you know, 6 or 8 inches or something like that. And that's how I, in all directions, plant a grid of, say, lettuce or a lot of things, actually. But, you know, it depends on what the crop is. But garlic, even, that's the grid that I use for my garlic. That's the grid I use for my onions. So I use my hand and I put my thumb down and I go, you know, in all the directions around my thumb. And then I do. I know that's stupid, but whatever.
No, it's great.
But talk about low tech. But what you are accomplishing is you're gridding out the bed without, you know, putting like drawing strings, you know, getting 10 different pieces of string on stakes and drawing strings. And, you know, it's like a prefab grid. So it's great.
Well, it is. And it's super fast because once you put the template down on the bed, rather than taking your hand every time you go from hole to hole to hole, everything's right there. And then you just take the seedlings and you lay them down. So literally in the matter of 2 minutes, and I've pretty much timed it, as you're probably not surprised with that, I can lay out 3 rows in a bed that's 12 feet long quickly. And sometimes 4 rows because you're just plopping them down in the grids. And you get the hang of it really quick. And then it just kind of clicks for you.
So these panels, they're probably fairly sturdy wire, like, I don't know what gauge, but
four gauge.
The livestock panels are 4 gauge. And not all the livestock panels come with the 6x6 grid. Some are graduated, like where there's a smaller grid down at the bottom, like because it's small for it to keep small animals in or out or whatever. So you kind of have to look for the right one that matches. And we want a heavy gauge like the 4 gauge. Is that the idea?
Mm-hmm. We do. We don't want it so heavy that it's tough to bend because I use them for multiple things. You know, that application evolved to many other things in the garden. But you like them to be flexible because if you want to get them home yourself and maybe you have a pickup truck or have access to one, those grids or those panels in their full length, which is 16 feet at time of purchase, will bend easily into the bed of a pickup truck in a U-shape. Yeah. So it's nice that they're flexible like that.
You know, we used to call things like what you just described, turning this piece of leftover animal fencing into a template for bedding out your transplant, you know, seedlings or whatever. I mean, at Martha Stewart, where I used to work for many years, we called these good things. So you've achieved a good thing. And as Martha would say, it's a good thing.
Well, good. I think it's a good thing. And I use them for so many things now. So,
So tell us. So what I mean, you know, we can go chronologically, like what will you be calling them into action for next in the garden? When do you start, by the way? So have you sown things indoors now in the Atlanta area?
Oh, it's just about 5,000 seedlings, yes.
Oh, not a lot. Okay.
Funny you should ask. Yeah, I'm using Craig LaHoulier's intensive planting method in the seed trays, and I'm trying a lot of different varieties now. So, yeah, and I want my daughter to start a little nursery business with these hard-to-find organic heirloom tomato seeds and others. And so that's the project going on at the moment.
Oh, fantastic.
It is. So we'll talk about that another day because that's very exciting for the both of us.
Oh, but good.
On those panels, the panel is, as I mentioned, is 16 feet. So when you cut that down for a grid, you have some leftover parts, and those parts can become something else. But for me, the evolving steps went from a grid to the tomato planting season, and I just got sick and tired of trying and failing every time to find the support mechanism that I felt worked best for my tomatoes in my garden with the aesthetics that I wanted and the sturdiness that I wanted and the stackability off season that I wanted. Just had never found it before. Mm-hmm. And once again, you know, the livestock panels were in sight, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a go and try to turn these panels into a tomato cage. And I got to tell you, Margaret, it's the best thing I ever did with those things. Each panel makes one complete cage that's it's basically in an L shape, and it's two parts you put together in the form of a square with a tomato plant up in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And the leftover piece is the perfect size for a pepper cage. Because, you know, they need support too, and my bamboo stakes never seem to do the job for that. So now I have the ultimate tomato and ultimate pepper support from livestock panels. One livestock panel makes one tomato cage and one pepper cage.
So this is like about a 4 foot tall by 16 foot long four gauge with 6x6 grid wire.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Can you believe I just said that?
You did very well. And, you know, those panels also come in smaller grids, and I bought them for, I bought 4x4, and those are called, I think they're goat.
I think smaller is goat, yeah.
They're more expensive, but they are really nice for the right application. So I have a few of everything.
So, yeah, Joe Lample and his wire collection. So with the tomato cages, then you're not staking the plant inside it or anything. You're just using the cage, yes?
You know, to start it, I do start it with a piece of bamboo, and then I put the cage around it. It's just to kind of train it. But once, you know, you get those leaders growing up, they kind of lean against the wire cage, and then you can either leave the bamboo in or take it out. You don't need it at that point.
Okay. And the pieces, the two L's, I take it, that form a square around the plant. Is that right? Uh-huh. Two L's?
That's right. Yeah.
So you bend it how?
So I take a piece of board, whether it's a 2x4 or a 2x6, and the panel, before it's bent, is I put it on a flat surface, whether it's just the ground or a driveway or something like that. But I put a board up against the center rib of the piece of the panel that I'm about to bend.
Yeah.
And so that provides the leverage. So I put my foot on the board. The rib of the panel is under the board, and then I just pull up. I get the edge of the panel, and I pull it towards me.
Okay.
And it's not difficult. It really is not.
So you use the board, the 2x4, as like a form that you're bending around. Okay. So that's how you get your good angle. Okay. So this is very low tech, and then you just cut what isn't needed. All right. Even I can do this part. So far, so good. I can make a template for gritting out my seedlings, and I think I can also do what you just said. I didn't know about the pepper cages, because of course when peppers are heavy with fruit, and then we have like late summer, you know, thunderstorms, or, you know, they really can get trashed if they don't have some support, can't they?
And mine always do, which is why I said I've got to come up with a way. And after the tomato cages and that extra piece that was the perfect size, it was a no-brainer. And suddenly I had all these. And I had, you know, for every tomato cage, I had the leftover part for a pepper cage. So for as many tomato cages as I had that many pepper cages.
About how much do you think it costs for one of these 16x4 foot panels?
Just under $20, round it to $20.
So when you get them locally at the local hardware or whatever. Okay.
And some people would argue that's expensive for a tomato cage, but I would argue that it's not if that is a cage that you're going to have the rest of your life, and it's attractive. It doesn't rust. It stores. You know, it's just, you know, a lot of people use the concrete wire,
reinforcing wire. Sure.
Yeah. That in tubes, and they work. It works great, but to me, for my purposes, and keep in mind, I have a TV garden too, so it has to kind of look nice during that time. I don't want the rust, and I like the ability to stack these things on top of each other in a very compact footprint when it's the off season. Unlike those round cages that can kind of get dangerous too, because they're very springy. And so anyway, it's a personal preference, but I just think the $20 is well worth it for two cages that will last forever.
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, the stackable, I mean, how big a garage does any of us have where, say, we even had 12 cages or 8 cages? I mean, it could take up half as much space as a car. Do you know what I mean? If you can't flatten them or stack them in any proper way, it becomes ludicrous to have the circular, the tubular ones that are, you know, a couple feet across each. And it's impossible. So
And I store mine behind some trees or bushes all through the year and just put a tarp over them. And something underneath them, like a 2x4, just to get them off the ground a little bit. Yeah. And that's it. They're out of sight, out of mind until I need them.
That's good. So one of my big problems is, among my many big problems, is that when the vining crops, you know, I do a lot of beans, pole beans and so forth, and I do them on giant tripods, teepees that I make out of 10-foot heavyweight bamboo. You know, a million years ago I ordered, I don't even know where it was from someplace, you know, maybe like Am Leonard or somewhere. I don't even know, you know, and it came on a truck, you know, this big bundle of thick bamboos. And I have to say, I love those. And they're I lash them together at the top with wire and stuff. And so, you know, it's a fun, old fashioned, nice, you said you want it to be nice looking. I think that's a nice looking way for like pole beans, for instance, you know, but that's not really ideal for every vining crop. And I kind of want something more with the grid thing going on. And so tell us about like vining crops. Have you used them for this?
I'm about to. I haven't used them
for
that,
well,
but
I have
friends that have. Yes. They that same 16-foot long panel, if you have two beds that are close enough together, maybe you have a walkway between the two beds like I do. I've got friends that take those panels. Susan Mulvihill comes to mind. We filmed an episode in her garden, and she uses the panel between two beds. So they're anchored. One side is anchored in one bed, and then the other side is anchored in the other bed. So you create this hoop or this arch that you can walk under, but you're planting the pole beans, in her case, in the beds, and they go up the trellis, and the beans hang down so that you can stand underneath them in the shade and pick your beans.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. That's great.
I like that.
And this is space that is above your walkway. It's space that is not being used at the moment, right?
It's found space.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to shade the walkway, but it's also going to shade the thing to the north of it, right? Or to the east of it, depending on which way your beds run. But so you have to think about that. But so would my teepees, but my teepees wouldn't take advantage of that pathway space. So that's kind of brilliant.
It's one more use. I'm making a list that's getting bigger by the season.
Uh-oh.
I want 101 things ultimately, and I'm at about 15 now.
Yeah. 101 is the goal. Were you always the type of, as a child, as a young man, were you the type of guy who made very big goals, daring goals?
Yeah. I've been kind of ambitious. I've been kind of quirky and ambitious for a long time. Yeah.
So we could do that, and that would take a 16-footer, and we'd anchor it carefully into the beds so that it was stable. So we'd be burying part of it in both beds. Okay. So that's one thing. And could we put cucumbers up that? I think we could.
Yes, you could.
Yeah. I don't think I'd put big pumpkins up something like that. I think, you could, but they can.
You can
get a heavy crop. I mean, those can
be
heavy.
Well, and you can support it with something on the side, you know, to cradle it.
But right.
I've seen it done. Yeah.
So, okay. So that's one way. Any other ideas for using them for vertical things or for vining crops? Or is that the one that we're going to try
first? I use them for my peas, too.
Okay.
I set them up as a teepee. So my beds are, you know, 3 and 4 feet wide and 12 feet long. So I cut the panels to size, and then I'll get two panels of the same size and just lean them towards each other at the top, and they're staked at the bottom. But really, just leaning them against each other is almost sturdy enough. And then I'll plant peas on both sides, and I do that twice a year.
I love this.
Several beds. Yeah, and it's just it's the easiest thing ever. Yeah, and it looks nice, too.
And peas don't weigh it much. So mentally, I was thinking of like the large winter squash kind of things. You know, I was thinking of that as like, I don't know if I want that on that hoop, that arch over my walkway.
Yeah.
Like, it might not be stable, but you're right. Maybe I could try in one spot. But the peas, that's a great idea. So you're just making a teepee with two pieces.
Yeah. You've got to come up with something to support those peas. And this, you know, rather than run your string trellis all the time, you just grab a piece of panel and plunk it in the garden. And in less than a minute, you've got both sides leaning against each other. And now you're planting your peas. And it is super quick, taking up and down.
So what else is on the list of 15 so far?
Well,
that you're keeping to yourself.
Well, if you're a gardener, Margaret, and you probably can relate to this too, but you know, we've got some barn cats here on the property, but they tend to think that they've got my raised beds as their personal litter box. And
yes.
I try to tell them that that's not the case, but they don't listen to me very well. So, you know what I'll do is I'll take some of those panel pieces and I'll set them into the bed. I'll either lay them flat on the ground or I'll support them a little bit off the ground. And usually I'll use those 4-inch grid patterns for this, but it just prevents the cats from using my beds as their litter box because they don't have the freedom to scratch and do their business. And it blocks them from that. And it's the simplest thing, but it's worked tremendously now. And I never have that problem anymore. And it also prevents foraging animals like the squirrels and the other things that like to dig around where I've just planted something.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or spinach coming up. You know, anything young and tender, if you're just trying to protect it, not only have you just gotten through planting it with your grid, but now you can leave the grid in place or support it a little bit off the ground. and all those young things. And I'm thinking specifically with my spinach because I really like it for that. It comes up right through. Carrots is another one. They come up right through the grid, no problem, and nothing bothers it either because it just encumbers, you know, what they might want to do there because of all that wire in their way.
So talk about a non-toxic pest control tactic. Yeah. And really passive because you lay, like you say, lay it down in 2 minutes and that's the end of that. No more problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I tell you another one?
Yes. So, you haven't reached 15 yet.
Well, so when I'm not using the panels for tomatoes or peppers, so we have that, you know, that L-shaped piece.
Right, right.
And it's off in retirement for the season. But now I've figured out a way to bring it out of retirement before I need it for those purposes. So when I'm planting new seedlings in my garden beds, when you're hardening them off or you want to ease them into the sun, slowly but surely, you can take those panels that you use for your tomato cages and lay them horizontally on top of the garden bed with your new seedlings underneath it, and then just drape a piece of shade cloth over the panel as a support.
Right. So you use it as a
little shade
form.
House.
Yeah. Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and when you're ready, and then you can just ease the shade cloth off whenever you're ready, you know, a little longer each day until you're done, and then you just pick the cloth off, and you pick up the panel, and you put it back on the stack, or maybe by now it's time to plant your tomatoes, and you're right there next to it. So that's a good one. I really like that one.
Now, with that one, I'm in a windy site, and so with that one, I'd want to use my lifetime supply of wooden clothespins to clamp them on, you know, to keep my shade cloth on to the form.
Yeah.
I love clothespins.
Well, maybe you write the 101 ways to use clothespins, and we'll
I will. I'm obsessed with clothespins. I think they're great things. Can I tell you a crazy one I use them for? When I go to the gym and use the treadmill, and I have I read a book, but the book won't stay open if it's a paperback, and so I clip I use a clothespin on either side to keep my book open. Okay, now you heard it here first, folks. I'm patenting that. It's really a great idea.
I love your low-tech way, Margaret.
Indeed. Yeah. So you want to tell us another one?
Well, one that I happened to use this past year out of necessity, I was out in the garden. We were getting one of those remnants of a hurricane passing through up from Florida into the southeast. And I needed some protection because I'd just gotten through planting my fall crops of all kinds of tender seedlings. I literally had gotten them in the ground the day before on a Saturday, and here it was Sunday, and the forecast had changed. The storm was getting closer to where we were, and I needed some protection because it was getting really windy. And I know that some of that heavy debris isn't going to save my plants, but if I could just keep things from falling on it or the wind buffering the wind. So I took those same tomato panels that I was telling you about, I used for shade cloth, laid them down over all my seedlings, and then also covered them up with some additional pieces, some flat pieces that I haven't even talked about yet, and created this a physical barrier, basically. It really wasn't so much a wind block as it was a barrier from falling debris.
That's
or blowing
a good
debris.
Idea, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I got to tell you, after that storm passed through, I went out there. The first thing I did that morning was inspect my garden. And although there were a lot of things around it that had been hit by falling debris because I'm surrounded by trees, I didn't have one single thing that was damaged that was covered or protected by those panels.
Oh.
And it was such an easy – it was a few minutes of investment, and I protected all 16 beds with the pieces that I had with 100% success.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So next time you have that hurricane blowing through, Margaret.
Oh boy.
Use your panels.
Yeah. So we only have just a minute or something left. Is there one quickie that you just want to tell us about that we haven't covered, did we get through the list?
Well, no, we didn't get through the list. But just a really quickie is, you know, when you take that panel, chances are you probably don't use the whole panel all at once. So you'll have that leftover piece, which oftentimes comes out to a pretty nice square piece, roughly a 4x4 square piece of panel that is very handy if you want to make a quick corral, for example. Like a lot of times I'll bring home a pickup truckload of plants in 3-gallon containers or whatever, and I've got deer like you, you don't have because your fence, but I do, and I need to protect my plants before I get them in the ground, but I don't really have a good place to store them. So I'll just grab however many of those panels I need, enough to surround my plants with a corral, and I may zip tie them or bungee cord them together.
Yeah.
And now I have a protected pen with my plants inside of it, and it took me no time to set up or take down.
What do you think, folks? Is he going to get to 101? I think he is. I think he's on his way. Joe Lample of joegardner.com and Growing a Greener World, PBS show. I love this. I think this is great. And for $20 bolt cutter and a $20 per panel investment, these are lifetime tools that we can DIY, huh?
Yeah, and you'll probably link to the video where I built that panel step by step. Yeah, so people can see it rather than try to visualize it.
We'll illustrate all this. So thank you so much for making time again today, Joe.
Always a pleasure. Anytime.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Underwriting support from High Mowing Organic Seeds, the first independently owned farm-based seed company proudly serving organic gardeners and farmers with 100% organic and non-GMO vegetable, herb, and flower seeds. HighMowingSeeds.com/AwayToGarden.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach made possible from Timber Press, the leader in fine garden books. The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder by best-selling author Marta McDowell. The revealing exploration of Wilder's connection to the landscapes of the American frontier is a must-read for Little House on the Prairie fans. From booksellers everywhere.
And I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes. Find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or facebook.com/awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.